Scriptures and Stories is a proud member of the Converge Podcast Network, and I want to give a quick shout out to our underwriting ministry partner, First 15. To get deeper into God's Word today, visit first15.org/converge. Now on to today's show.
Stories are important because they are meaningful. And they are meaningful because they are memorable, powerful, and they personally connect us with each other. In this podcast, we take names, faces, hopes, and dreams of people of all walks of life. We are diverse with ages and races. You will have the opportunity to hear these stories in their own words. We believe your story and God's story will intersect with the stories of others. God's story is revealed through scriptures. Your story is revealed through experiences. Their story is revealed in life events. Our hope is that through this podcast, we will recognize that God uses every part of our stories, even the messy parts, to bring glory to Himself, draw His children close, and call others into His family. This podcast is the perfect intersection between your story and God's story. We believe you will leave here inspired, encouraged, and challenged to share your story with the world. Welcome to the Scriptures and Stories Podcast with your host, Rashawn Copeland.
My name is Bryce Griggs, and I am from Atlanta, Georgia. You can find my Twitter and Instagram handles at Bryce Griggs. So growing up as a kid, I believed in God, I believed Jesus was a man, but I never understood the full concept of who Jesus is and what he did on the cross for us. And, you know, I didn't know that he rose again 3 days later. I just didn't know any of that. I didn't understand it growing up. But I went to church every once in a while, and then I kind of just lived my life the way I wanted to live it. God blessed me with the ability to be athletic. So I played baseball, I wrestled, I ran track and cross country. And my main focus was pretty much sports growing up. I would go to all these baseball tournaments, and my goal was to go to the MLB one day. But that was pretty much my focus. And I grew up in Kansas for 16 years, and then I moved to Georgia my junior year of high school. And that was a huge change in my life. I had to meet new people, I had to make new friends, and it was kind of out of my comfort zone because I'm more of an introvert, so it was really hard for me to do that, but I made the baseball team, and so that helped me make friends pretty quickly. But one day at practice, I got severely injured. I took a knee to the face, and I shattered my orbital bone, which is the bone above your eye, and I was rushed to the hospital. And the doctor told me that there was a bone that was just inches away from my brain. And so that was really scary, and I didn't know what was going to happen. So I had to get surgery a couple days later, and the surgery went fine. Everything went good. The only thing that was really scary was the surgery took 5 hours, and it was only supposed to take like two. So that was kind of scary. But other than that, I healed really well. The doctor said I would heal in 8 weeks. But I ended up healing in 2 weeks, and then I was able to play again. But after that, I went into my senior year, and I just decided to run cross country and track just because I didn't want to take the chance of getting hurt again. And I ended up being really successful in track. One day, it was actually Christmas Eve. I went to church, and the pastor was talking about who Jesus is and why God sent Jesus into the world. And I fully understood at that service who Jesus is and the whole concept of Jesus dying for our sins and him being raised 3 days later. And I understood that, you know, God loves me and God has mercy and forgiveness and grace over me. I was always really hard on myself growing up. I felt like I had to be perfect, but I finally understood that I don't have to be perfect in this life because Jesus is the only one who's perfect. And I remember sitting in church, and we were doing a candlelight service. I was just looking at the candle, and this was after the sermon. And, you know, I just felt like Jesus was knocking on my heart to say, you know, are you going to let me in? And I agreed and I said yes. And, you know, I remember just staring at the candle and I just said, Jesus, I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you rose again 3 days later. And I accept you and I believe that you are my Lord and Savior. And I could just feel the Holy Spirit come over me, and I could just feel a sense of peace and love and, you know, kind of just rejoice, you know, just, you know, being like, wow, like I gave my life to Christ and I finally understood who he is personally, and it just changed my life forever. And so after that moment, you know, I finished out high school and I went to college for cross country and track. I'm majoring in mass communications, and I now lead a Bible study at my college, and I'm getting a part in churches and stuff like that, and just doing what God has created me to do, which is to further the gospel and to further the kingdom and to just keep my trust and focus on him. And like I said earlier, my focus was always on sports growing up, and I think that kind of just led me away from, you know, God a little bit. I was putting sports in my life before him, and now I understand that I need to put God first in my life and put Jesus first in my life. And, you know, obviously I still have struggles and I'm not perfect. That's not what being a Christian means. Being a Christian means that you're forgiven for your sins and that you trust Jesus, and that he saved us. And I just think it's a beautiful thing. And I made this Twitter account in February. It hasn't even been a month, just because I felt led to talk about Jesus on Twitter and to just, you know, put encouraging scripture, you know, put things that I've experienced in my life on there. And just, I feel like it's a good way to further the gospel and scripture and to help others who are dealing with things in their lives. And just, you know, I've made this account and I really feel like I'm doing God's will. That's pretty much my testimony. I was never really a kid who wanted to rebel or to, you know, go against anything. I just didn't really fully understand the concept of God and Jesus. And yeah, I hope this, I hope my story can help others. And yeah, so start where you are and God will take you where you need to be.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of the Scriptures and Stories podcast. They're just one another phenomenal story. Every single week, we have everybody from the highways and the byways, from the warehouse to the White House, come on our show and share their testimonies. Not really the White House. That was kind of corny. I was actually supposed to go to the White House this week, but because of the coronavirus, the all-popular coronavirus, it messed me up. Now we can't go. It got canceled. I was literally supposed to be in the White House where Donald Trump be or Obama used to be. And I sort of am kind of upset about that. But moving on with the show, today we're going to talk about something super exciting in my life, something that is going on right now that I want to say you are fully a part of. You can be a part of it even today. I need a few peeps on my launch team, meaning you, if you're listening to this. Please reach out to me on Instagram at HypeSir, HypeSir, or Twitter at HypeSir7. Reach out to me because I would love for you to be on my book launch team because our pre-orders have officially started as of last week. Guys, if you have not pre-ordered your book for Start Where You Are, go and order it right now. You can go to Start Where You Are book.com, startwhereyouarebook.com, or you can go ahead and
just come over to any of my social media platforms, and the website will be in the link bio or the website bio. So really quick, I wanted to spend this morning, as you see, we're now uploading on Wednesday mornings. We had a quick transition from Fridays to Wednesdays. I hope you enjoy that. I hope that works well for you on your commute, going from work to school to home, wherever you're going. And another thing is, alongside that, just a few things I want to share with you about in this episode. Because the theme of my book deals with a lot of messiness and how God has mercy for our mess and He wants what's best for our life. A lot of us settle for what's less in our life because we don't come back to what's best in our life, which is Jesus. So I think it's so important that you understand that no matter where you are in your walk with Jesus, no matter even if you don't like Him or you don't have a relationship with Him, maybe you're facing a spiritual desert this time in your life. You're in the face of a spiritual season of dryness in your faith and walk with Him. These are the pivotal moments. When we face times like that, those are the pivotal moments on everyone's spiritual journey where we can emerge with our faith intact. We can emerge with even just a mustard seed of faith, and God will have His way in your life. That's why you can start where you are, and God will take you where you need to be. Every one of us have a testimony. Every one of us have went through a time in our life where we see so much pain. We see so much problems, and we miss out on the presence of God. But I want to tell you that God is purposely maintaining you each and every single day. He's sustaining you each and every day. So let me encourage you with that. So let's talk about this really quick, how God's mercy helps you move beyond your mess. How God's mercy helps you move beyond your mess. In your life, in our lives, we have so much that is going on half the time. We live in a messy, fallen world. And at any given time, you're likely to face some sort of mess. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? Mess in the marriage, mess in the workplace, mess, you know, with car problems or with just circumstances and things we're facing. We deal with a lot of things such as if you're a mom and you have a teenager, a rebellious teen, or maybe you're in a season like I am, you got a rebellious two-year-old, a toddler, all them T's, y'all hear that? But all them kids just, you know, can act out, right? Not only that, because we live in a fallen world, even the people who are closest to us, good friends that we love so much, can also betray us. They can hurt us. They can say things behind our back and slander and speak against, you know, what God is doing in our life, and we can really be hurt because of people hurt us. And I want to encourage you, God meets us in all of this. He meets us in our mess again. Some of you are dealing with just a messy struggle, dealing with an addiction. Some of you may be addicted to pornography. Some of you may be addicted to alcohol. Some of you may just be addicted to your cell phone. Some of you may be addicted to eating fast food. Some of you may be addicted to searching the news and things like the coronavirus and different things like that, that is keeping you so, so fearful and so paralyzed and not living a purposeful life. But I want to tell you, whatever stronghold you're facing, whatever place where you're walking away from God's a dream that will really fulfill you, if you're walking away from that and sort of gotten stuck, God will meet you there in your stuckness, and He'll lead you out of there. The question is this, whether to remain stuck or not remain stuck. And many of us choose to remain stuck by getting comfortable in our mess when God's best is right on the verge of becoming a reality for us. So let me encourage you guys, while it's natural to want to fix and hide our messes that we should be confronting, you know, that's not how God wants us to operate. God wants us to bring our mess to Him. First, we have to acknowledge our mess. We have to admit that we have a mess. You know, the Bible's really clear in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. If you say, I'm too good, I'm too clean, I don't got a mess, Romans 3, 23 speaks against you. The Bible speaks against what you're saying. The Bible says, for we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Meaning we all have mess. We all have stuff we're struggling with. And I want to let you know that we can't look down on Kanye. We can't look down on Justin Bieber. We need to be real and authentic with ourselves and say, hey, who am I to judge someone else? We're called to love everyone else, not judge everyone. So when mercy meets your mess, it transforms it from something ugly and makes it beautiful. God has a way of taking the broken areas of our life and making them beautiful again. And if you're in the place right now where you feel as if you're too far to be reached, you're not too far to be reached. You're not too broken to be fixed. You're not too dirty to be cleansed. You're not too unworthy to be loved. We struggle because at some point someone told us we weren't good enough and we're not good enough apart from Jesus. And we just need to fix our eyes on what's true, which is he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. So let's talk about this really quick. What does it look like to admit to the messes in our life? What does it look like to admit to the messes in our life? We need to stop pressuring ourselves to try to be perfect because we're not going to be perfect. Even David realized this. I love David so much. One, he basically said, hide your word in my heart so I will not sin against it, God. Like, this was after the time he was called a murderer, you know, called adulterer. And, you know, and yet he was a dirty man. He was a messy man. He was an adulterer. He was a murderer. He was dirty, right? But still, God called him. He labeled him a man after my own heart. You know why? Because God's not looking for the perfect person. God's not looking for someone who has it all together. He's looking for the one who will come to him with a humble and a contrite heart, a broken spirit. He says, those he will not turn away. You know, the sick don't need a doctor, but God knows that those who are sick and admit it, they need one. So he joyfully wraps them in his arms and he meets them in their mess. He loves them through it and he leads them out of it.
You're listening to the Converge Podcast Network. And now a message from a network supporter.
If the first thing you do when you wake up in the morning is look at your phone, then try this. Instead of checking social media, open the Abide app to start your day in the spirit of peace and joy in Christ. Can't fall asleep? Find rest as you listen to bedtime stories by Abide. Doze off peacefully as you meditate on God's word. Do you deal with stress and anxiety throughout the day? Do you find yourself on your phone constantly? Stop checking social media, people. And pop open the Abide app to ease your mind. Abide is the number one Christian meditation app. Abide users report less stress, lower levels of anxiety and depression, and better sleep. Start your day with Abide's daily meditation. Based on biblical scripture, these audio meditations will center you and draw you closer to Christ. For a limited time, our listeners will get 25% off a premium subscription when you visit abide.co/stories. Abide's meditations start at 2 minutes long. They're easy to fit in your schedule and feature topics like overcoming anxiety, managing stress, addiction, and recovery, finding forgiveness, and much more. And at the end of the day, find deep rest with Abide's bedtime stories based on the Bible. They're great for kids and adults alike. Join the millions of people using Abide, including Grammy Award-winning singers, church leaders, and Christians just like you. Get started now with 25% off a premium subscription by downloading the Abide app at abide.co/stories. You'll get additional stories and meditations, premium music, soothing sounds, and more. Support this show and get 25% off by going to abide.co/stories. That's Abide, abide.co/stories, to download the Abide app and get 25% off your premium subscription.
Here's one thing I love about God. No resumes are too bad for God. All the ugly stuff in our life, you know, we can look down on other people's resumes. They can look down on our resumes, but not mine or not yours. Neither one of our resumes are too bad for God. Isn't that hopeful? Isn't that comforting, but convicting as well? Nor anyone listening to this, anyone listening to this right now who may feel as if they're imperfect. You are imperfect. You need someone who is perfect. That's Jesus. We like flawless resumes again, God, but God looks at the gaps and the blemishes. Noah was a drunk. Jacob was a deceiver. Moses committed murder. And many would argue that David was an adulterous murderer, right? And Samson was a womanizer. And I honestly wrote this book for people like Noah. I wrote this book for people like Jacob. I wrote this book for people like Moses. I wrote this book for people like Samson. I wrote this book for people like Kanye and Justin Bieber. People who don't have it all together. People who are sick and who need a doctor. And I think what's amazing, I really love the way God redeems. His redemptive power can redeem everything, right? Only through him are our ways made perfect. Only through Jesus are our ways made perfect. If we look at 2 Samuel and read verse 22-33, it says, "As God is my strength and power." It's not saying we're our strength and power. It's not saying our resume is our strength or power. It's not saying how great we uphold the law is our strength or power. But it says, "My God is my strength and power, and he makes my path perfect." He makes my way perfect. God truly does meet us in our mess. He truly loves us through it, and he leads us out of it. See, the miracle isn't that he just meets us there, but the miracle is that he loves us through it, and he leads us out of it. He joyfully makes all the crooked lines straight again. So one thing that you can remember today, God saves all who answer the call. God saves all who answers the call. God saves worship leaders. He saves rap artists. He saves alcoholics. He saves crack addicts. And even the doctor at that. You know, drug dealers, dope dealers, whoever can humble themselves and come before the Lord and admit that they are wretched sinners in need of a Savior, he will save. And as long as they repent and put their trust in Jesus, turn from their sins. God saves dope dealers and turns them into hope dealers. Ooh, I like that one. Y'all like that one? I like that one. Acts chapter 2, verse 21 says this, all who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. As far as the motives of Kanye or as far as the motives of Justin Bieber, at the end of the day, Jesus is King was streaming. It was killing the airwaves, crushed the airwaves. Spotify, you know, he had the number one basically song in all of Spotify for several weeks. And not only that, even his individual songs were top and number one on the song charts. Like, whether it's out of the mouth of a pastor or a rapper, as long as Jesus is being preached, that's a win. I don't care what's happening, you know, what this world is talking about. God uses the unlikely people to do unlikely things. And let's continue to just rest in that and believe in that and know that if we want to get out of our mess, the big thing is maybe you're in that season right now. You need to admit that you have a mess. The second thing is surround yourself around believers who aren't afraid to be honest about not only your mess, but their mess. You want the authenticity to be a two-way street. You want someone you can trust. You don't just want to spill all your beans out on someone you can't trust or someone who won't be real with you, someone who won't be open with you. But you want to seek a caring and trustworthy crowd, you know, a core group of people who will encourage you, affirm you in the truth of God's word, but more importantly, that will pray for you without judging or criticizing you. Now, they can speak truth into your heart, you know, that will convict you, but it has to be through the power of the Holy Spirit. And you certainly don't want people who's going to gossip about you and your mess. If you can't find enough people like that in your current community, your current church, you may want to find a new church that focuses on authenticity. I'm just saying. I'm just speaking on being real, like why it's important to be real. We have to be open, just like David was. Examine me. Examine my heart, Lord. See if there's any wicked way in me and lead me to the everlasting. He was so good about that. I'm extremely encouraged for a man like David and also Apostle Paul. He says, again, he says, examine yourselves and make sure you're in the faith. We have to do that on a consistent basis. The next point is shift your focus from your sorrow to the Savior. Don't get so caught up on focusing so much on the mess that you miss what's best, which is God. So many of us, instead of, being preoccupied with God, we get preoccupied with our messes that we're dealing with in our life. And we look beyond Jesus at our mess. And we lose sight of the mercy that is there for our mess, which is Christ himself. The just came and died for the unjust once and for all, so we can inherit salvation through the spotless, sinless, blameless Lamb of God. When God sees us now, he sees his son Jesus, which is a perfect, perfect view. Like, I mean, God's in the penthouse looking down at you. Like, they're good because of who my son is, not because of anything they've done. Make the choice to trust in his presence with you. And his ability to bring good out of even the worst of messes. Just be confident that your mess isn't, too messy for God. He doesn't work around it. He doesn't work, sort of beyond it, but he works in it. So remember that today and use what you have learned through your process, through that messy season of your life. Use the pain and the brokenness and the struggles that you've faced in your life, the adversity, all those things to speak life over others. Teach them lessons that you wish someone would have taught you. Go and get some people to disciple. We're called to discipleship. And anytime a church isn't really walking in, this passion for discipleship, they'll end up doing this thing called recycleship. It's just believers coming to toot their own horns and tickle their own. Whatever. But it's important that we grow spiritually together, and God will use every mess, and he will allow, even the test of our lives to teach us more valuable lessons and help us to grow in him, love him more and become more like him. We need to grow spiritually, and that's the only way we're going to do it, by being open, by being authentic, and, really laying our lives down. Then God will present you even opportunities. He'll present you even more opportunities to learn and teach others as you continue to open yourself up and do it. And you'll get a desire to do so, because your ways become God's ways and his ways become yours. And God's ways are always to seek and save that which is lost. And I want to encourage you to do the same. For instance, if you've gone through a divorce in the past, you can help others who are currently dealing with a messy marriage. That's just an example. Maybe you went through the heat of a divorce and now you want to allow God to purposely, which you should, want to allow God to use that testimony to purposely help others who are walking through a tough season of marriage. Maybe speak into it a little bit as you are led by God, and also ask God to show you how everyone in your past, whatever messy circumstances that were in your past, ask him how he can prepare you to comfort and encourage others who are dealing with similar issues right now. That can be something you can practically do today. Matter of fact, pull out a pen, write them down. You have them fresh in your head as you're driving home right now. Think of who you can text or call or just show up at their front door. Probably don't show up at their front door. I probably would get my head blasted off if I did that to the guy who shot me. But okay, let me keep moving. Some of y'all go back to the first episode of this podcast. If you want to hear my story on how one of my most messy situations in my life where I was shot down, left for dead. I had to find a way to forgive the man who did that. And it was one of the toughest things I ever done in my life, but I'm thankful through the power of the Holy Spirit and knowing and loving Jesus Christ and wanting to obey him, I was able to do it. then pay God's mercy forward. Pay his mercy forward by helping others. So next point, got two more. And these aren't actually points necessarily in the book, but a lot of the concepts you're hearing in this podcast will encourage you, very similar to the book. The book is going to be something that's fresh, new, and just really, I feel, is my heart message, reminding each and every one of you that you can start with anxiety, you can start with lust, you can start with jealousy, you can start with anger, you know, whatever you're dealing with, suicidal thoughts, you start there and God will take you where you need to be. That's what I'm encouraging in the book. Again, you can go and order that right now on Amazon or startwhereyouarebook.com. Start where you are. So change, here's the next point, change an us in them attitude. Us in them attitude. See, one of the big things is a lot of people become very judgmental once they come to Christ and they're following God for a long time. And when they look sort of outside of the Christian bubble, they can look down on people. And looking down on people is never what God has called us to do. We need to look, you know, right at people at eye level and love them and meet them where they are, because God did that for us. Recognize that every person on the planet is a sinner. That's one thing. We already talked about that. We discussed that earlier in the show. But we all need God's mercy equally as well, right? We're a sinner, but we all need his mercy equally. Don't judge people who are dealing with different kinds of messes than you. Treat them with kindness and compassion, just like God treated you. All while you're a sinner, Christ, all while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Instead of talking about others and what they're doing or what moral decisions they're making, or their, you know, mental problems. Like, for instance, if you think about it really quick, I know I'm going to move a little bit left a little bit, but what we're talking about was Kanye. Basically, the internet lit up whenever he released his album. I know this is kind of old news, you know, at least it ain't coronavirus, but at least we're not talking about that like everybody and their mama talking about it right now. But check this out. But think about it. The internet lit up, but I was blown away by the response of believers. You know, even people who weren't in Christ responded better to the Jesus is King album than some of the believers I know. Many people labeled Kanye as crazy, as bipolar, with mental problems and different things like that. Again, I think it was insensitive. It was disrespectful and wrong. You know, people utter these things like God can't convert him as well, as if God isn't on the throne, as if God doesn't save people with mental or moral deficiencies. Matter of fact, we all have a moral deficiency. Some of us may not have mental deficiencies that we know of, but we all have a moral deficiency. Again, we were saved by grace through faith, not of works, so that no man may boast. We needed God. And Kanye does as well. And God doesn't grade on a curve. He grades on a cross. So don't judge people who are dealing with mess. Matter of fact, point them to what's best, which is Jesus again. Okay. Talk with them to develop genuine relationships and seek God together. Like, if there is ever a moment you're in a room with someone and you are looking down on their brokenness and what they're going through, take the broken way. Don't take the ladder way. Don't take, you know, climbing the ladder as if you're greater than them and thinking you're the apostle of the apostles and that you got so much to preach and teach and exhort them. However, come on their level. Find a way to serve them. Really have ears to hear their needs, their concerns, their pains, and then speak into those things lovingly with truth, of course. But I think that's so important. Walk with them. Jesus walked and he lived among the sinners and those who needed, you know, help. He was a friend of sinners. So I think we need to be as well, right? Okay, overcome legalism. That's another thing we can do to live beyond our mess and live for God's best for our life. Don't try to earn God's love. Many of us, every day in and day out, we question whether or not we've been saved or not. If you go back to my older episode, Am I Saved episode, you'll hear a little bit more about that, how we all have this doubt. The enemy wants you to doubt your salvation. He wants to make you think that you have to earn your way. But here's the thing. when we come to Christ, our desires and what we love and what we crave and our appetite changes, and there's a supernatural transformation within us, that there will be a change. We will bear fruit. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. You won't bear fruit unless you abide in me. So it's important for us to understand that we will see the fruit in a believer's life. That's the only way you distinguish really clearly whether someone's a sheep or they're a goat, whether they're slaves or they're saved, if they're abiding in Jesus, if they're producing fruits. There's some believers that are struggling, of course, but there's just some people who are hypocritical liars who are just living this life with a facade, with a mask on, and not truly following our Lord Jesus Christ, which we'll get into more of that later. But let's not live in a legalistic way. Let's not even live where we lean more towards two different extremes. There's legalism, and then there's the like liberation, freedom to sin. Like you're free to go off and sin. You want to be not too far over into the legalism side. You want to be, you know, not too far over in liberty to sin type deal. You know, you want to be right in the middle where I'm loving Jesus, I'm knowing him, I'm growing in intimacy with him, I'm growing in the knowledge of the grace of God and the knowledge of Christ, and I'm obeying him. There's no sense of, you know, even following Jesus unless you're going to obey him. By trying to live perfectly now and follow moral rules, you know, God said, you know, my mercy, my grace is what changes us. It's his grace and his mercy. He says, it's me that works in you to do the will that I've called you to do, to fulfill my will and purpose. God wants your obedience as a way to express your gratitude for his mercy, not for a means to obtain in his mercy or mercy. So don't grumble about other Christians who don't make exactly the same lifestyle choices that you make. But keep in mind that personal lifestyle choices, such as people's decisions, like whether they follow this person in the politics, or, you know, or they celebrate this holiday, or they go to school at this school, or they choose this crew to hang with, or they're, you know, watching entertainment like this on Netflix, you know, crazy chick flicks, whatever it is, those choices are theirs, they're making freely without condemnation, thanks to God, because his mercy. However, we don't lean onto our own understanding, but we trust that God is changing us. He's transforming us as we seek him, as we know, get to know him, love him, and obey him. Also, live to please God and not other people. We will get into that here soon as well. And then eliminate idols out of your life so you can make God your top priority. If you seek an ultimate fulfillment or any other pursuit that is lesser than God, that thing becomes an idol, and you will make your life even more messier. But if you devote yourself to the Lord and keep your thoughts and your energy and your focus and your time devoted to him, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added onto you. You will see every part of your life flourish because of the mercy of God that is pouring out over your mess. And he will transform you, and you will freely and fully live a life that is for God's best and not predicated on the pain that is within your mess, but you will keep your eyes on the things above, not the things on earth. And that will change everything. So I want to encourage you guys with that. I pray that this episode encouraged you. I just wanted to truly just spend a moment to speak into your life that whatever you are going through, whatever season that you're walking through, God has mercy for whatever area of your life that's messy. It seems like the moment God helps us clean up one part of our life, you know, how great is our God? He helps us clean up, you know, and convicts us and changes us and prunes us and different things like that. But as soon as one area of our life seems to be getting better, it seems like another end we're failing at, you know, whether it's devotion time to God, you know, spending time with Jesus. And then here a week later, you know, we're back in the cycle of, you know, indulging in food and in our cravings rather than, you know, praying or different things like that. You know what I'm saying? Or maybe it's just sin. Maybe you're anxious about everything. You got so much going on your plate. You're worrying about you know, where the next meal is going to come from, or am I going to go on this vacation? You're sort of indulging in consumerism, buying everything. Like, there's so much we can wrap ourselves around and do that is becomes very discouraging after a while, and it just gets messy. But I want to tell you again, to close out, how God's mercy helps you move beyond life's messes is by seeking Him for every aspect of our life so He can give us in return what's best. So, and that's Himself. And I love you guys. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. And stay encouraged. Make sure you go order the book if you haven't yet. And I'm super pumped to connect and hang with you guys even more next week. God bless. Bye-bye.
For listening to Scriptures and Stories with Rashawn Copeland. For more information about this show, visit ConvergePodcastNetwork.com.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network.